From the Director Department of Family Care, requesting authorization to pursue negotiations with the State of Wisconsin Department of Health Services for a contract to provide the family care benefit to residents of Racine and Kenosha counties. This item was also referred to the Committee on Finance and Audit.
Good morning, Ms. Ledger.
Good morning, Madam
Mr.
Chair.
Mr. Hodgson, how are you this morning?
I'm good. You?
Good.
Good morning, Supervisors.
All right.
The information that you have in front of you is the Department of Family Care prepared a proposal to the state of Wisconsin in response to their RFP, their request for proposal for the managed care benefit in Racine and Kenosha. When any entity offers the family care benefit in an area, every 5 years the state issues an RFP. So presumably the existing managed care organizations submit a proposal, as did Milwaukee when our RFP was due, but it's also an opportunity for other MCOs to also submit. So we prepared a proposal, submitted it, and the state sent information indicating that they would be willing to enter into discussions with Community Care, which is the existing managed care organization in Racine and Kenosha, with Milwaukee County Department of Family Care, and with iCare, which would provide the partnership benefit, which is different than just the strict family care benefit in those areas.
Supervisor Mayo?
Yes. Will Milwaukee County, will this be the first time that you're going to Racine and Kenosha? Are you there right now?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Mayo, this would be this department's first foray into expanding the benefit that we provide outside of not just the boundaries of Milwaukee County, because we have some people that live out of county, but outside of just individuals who are the legal responsibility of Milwaukee County.
And will Milwaukee County benefit? How will we benefit going into this RFP?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Mayo, there's a number of benefits, in my opinion. Number one is that as we provide this benefit outside of our boundaries, we strengthen this organization. This is a very it's a very challenging time to be a managed care organization, so I think to the extent that we can grow this program, benefits the area to which we move, as well as this existing program. Clearly we feel, and the state apparently agrees, that we've done a good job here, so it's a benefit to the program as a whole, but I think it positions Milwaukee County very effectively in terms of being able to do what we do well and provide that benefit to other individuals.
What is the profit on this? You're going in to make revenue, and also there will be no Milwaukee County tax dollars going out of Milwaukee mm-hmm. County for Racine and Kenosha, correct?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Mayor, there's no current tax levy in this program, so the expectation would be because the family care is funded solely through those capitation payments that we receive for every individual who's enrolled in the program. So for every individual who enrolls and for whom we receive that capitation payment, we pay for their services and then also support the infrastructure. So it would be that same model. So there isn't any tax levy that would be going.
Will you be getting more employees since you're going down that way, or will we maintain the employees that we have to make sure that we continue to work?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Mayo, we are sort of drilling down on the details of that. Right now, the glass half full part of having caps on enrollment in family care is that the only way that right now an individual anywhere in Wisconsin can enroll is if someone else leaves that program in that area. So the enrollments are at a much smaller pace than they had been prior to the governor and the Department of Health Services putting those caps on enrollment. So we're anticipating a smaller procession into the program. It'll only be those, again, equal to whoever leaves, and then people can move from agency to agency if they choose, and that's sort of outside of the caps. So it'll be, again, if you have to put a good spin on the fact that people have to wait for services, it allows us to sort of ramp up gradually. There are some staff positions that we've initially identified that we have to have in place. We're going to be able to leverage off of a lot of our existing infrastructure, so it isn't because we're here we have to double. It's really a smaller percentage of new positions that we would have to add in. I have had some discussions with human resources in terms of what's the best way to make this work. I mean, obviously we've got some some geographic issues that we need to deal with. How would we best, you know, we need to be a physical presence to a certain extent in both of these communities. So how do you best make that work and make it work on a fairly accelerated timeline? So we're still figuring that piece out, but it'll be initially a small number of staff, probably I would say 10 and under.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Supervisor Jurczyk.
Thank you. We know that the most recent budget has now required us to have waiting lists. And I'm very concerned that if you start doing this service for folks outside of Milwaukee County, you're going to have some conflicts on who gets served on what waiting list. Would you please respond to that concern?
Absolutely. Madam Chair, Supervisor Jurczyk, every community has their own wait list. So the wait lists in Milwaukee County are managed by the Aging Resource Center and the Disability Resource Center. So if you think of all of the programs that provide service in Milwaukee County, so the two family care managed care organizations, IRS, the state's self-directed support program, and Partnership and PACE, that universe in Milwaukee County is what, when people disenroll due to death or they leave the service area, that's where they're able to pull people off the waiting list. But that waiting list is just for Milwaukee County. Racine and Kenosha maintain their own waiting lists. So you can't go from, I couldn't decide that I was going to take a few people and serve them in Racine and bypass people from Milwaukee. They're two separate areas. They're two separate waiting lists. So I can't give preference to one versus the other. It's simply when a spot is created in an area, then that area is able to fill that spot. And by area, I mean like a geographic area.
But we do have the emergency slots that were added.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe counties are in a position of having to, in effect, compete for those.
Mm-hmm.
And again, aren't you going to be placed in a situation where you have a conflict of interest now?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Jurczyk, I don't pull no managed care organization manages their wait list, nor are we able to make decisions about who gets an emergency slot. There are those 400 slots that are available statewide, and those are all decisions that are made by the resource centers. So I can't move somebody up on the list. I can't really ask that, you know, that this is an individual who really needs to be able to be served regardless of how many other people are waiting. That isn't in the purview of any managed care organization. When someone enrolls for whatever mechanism, because they're eligible for an emergency slot or because there was a slot through attrition, it just simply comes to me. I don't make a decision about who gets what sort of slot. No managed care organization does. There's that separation that's established to avoid those kinds of conflicts of interest. So I can't do anything about someone who wants something more, who I feel is more deserving than another. I don't have any ability to do that.
I think the world of you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry to keep asking this question.
Totally okay.
In a different way.
Okay.
But knowing how administrators can work, decisions can be made from time to time to create a emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Oops, this person just got a eviction notice. We have an emergency here. I need that person served in the emergency slot.
Mm-hmm.
You're indicating that there are firewalls that are going to totally prevent that between counties.
Madam Chair, Supervisor Jurczyk, I think probably more so between counties than in any other circumstance, because again, those 400 slots are available for everybody from Appleton to Barron County. And I realize that only goes from A to B, but you get my meaning. Those are 400 slots statewide, and you know, we can have a whole other discussion about how 400 isn't really a sensible number for the state. But if someone comes to my attention, I don't process enrollments. The income maintenance staff don't report to me. The resource center staff don't report to me. So I can't do anything about an individual being enrolled in Milwaukee County or Racine and Kenosha. Imagine if that were the case, my life would be significantly streamlined, but it's not appropriate, and so I can't. And so where one county, say, Milwaukee and Racine, are vying for a limited number of slots, those 400 slots. That's a discussion that goes on. That's at the resource center level. And so I don't know, and I don't really know at this point how many of those 400 slots have been utilized. My sense is anecdotally probably not as many, because it's sort of, again, the state sort of understands what they think an emergency is, which is very different than what perhaps other people believe what an emergency is. So I can't, you know, if Racine, you know, has X amount of people that they move forward, then those are people that are an emergency. It doesn't, it really is all counties vying for these slots. It's not just these two against each other. It's statewide. But I can't do anything about that. But because if there is some sort of, you know, race to get to as many slots, and you know, who could blame a community for doing that? You want to be able to serve the people who in your community have the deepest need. But that's all happening on the resource center level, between how they, when referrals come in, and what the circumstances are for those individuals.
Now, I sit on the resource board in Milwaukee County. I assume Racine will have its own resource board.
Manager, Supervisor, they do. Okay. Because Family Care has already had a place in Racine and Kenosha for the past 5 years, the difference is that they had been served by one managed care organization. And so now they're going to be probably mirroring a lot of what Milwaukee County has gone through in terms of explaining to individuals that there's more than one entity that provides this benefit, there's more, you know, more than one entity that provides that benefit, and helping people make those choices in terms of who they want to provide those services to them. It's not just a question of what services anymore, but who and what.
So you see absolutely no conflict of interest in overseeing these separate resource boards, even though they are both working with the same entity?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Jurczyk, the resource centers, again, because there's going to be whoever is the managed care organization and whoever has been the managed care organizations in these areas, they keep the, you know, they have no more influence over their resource centers than I do or community care does in Milwaukee County. I can have all sorts of opinions on all sorts of topics, but those are just mine. it would mirror the same structure that we have here, in that the resource centers are really that front door. They present all of your options to you. As an older adult in the aging resource center, as an individual 18 to 59 with a disability at the disability resource center, those individuals make choices, they are offered resources, and if what the choice that they make is this particular program, then we serve them.
Because Milwaukee County has been Family Care since the original pilot program, we've in effect closed nursing homes because more folks are being served outside of the nursing home settings.
Mm-hmm.
Counties that haven't been in Family Care as long have perhaps not done that. As a result, I've vocally stated this at resource centers, there may be an opportunity to have more beds outside Milwaukee County because of our history of closing nursing homes, and I don't know if this is going to now permit you to start placing folks in a larger area. Your response to some of those things?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Jurczyk, one of the sort of existing realities for any managed care organization is, because when that original population rolled over from where they were being served through the Medicaid waivers, not a lot, but enough of individuals were being served outside of the boundaries of Milwaukee County, particularly individuals with disabilities who have been placed in institutional settings far from Milwaukee County. So there were people who were at Northern Wisconsin Center in Chippewa Falls and Peterson Healthcare in Rhinelander, Southern Wisconsin Center in Union Grove. So what had happened over time is that people would relocate to the community and sort of stay in those general areas. So we have contracts with some fairly far-flung locations. We have individuals who are placed in Oconto Falls and in Chippewa Falls, and so throughout Wisconsin. We try to keep as much of our network close in as we can, because it's just it's a much more effective way to ensure quality. If they're easily, you know, easy for a site visit, you can have that constant contact, you're going to be able to keep a better eye on how things are going for your members. But we do have contracts with nursing homes outside of Milwaukee County, sometimes for more specialized services. Certainly in Ozaukee County we do as well. So that may be an option, but it's an option currently where we have a need to grow our network. We try to do it, again, within the confines of the county, but there are some specialized services or some circumstances where individuals may be out of county, and we're currently working with a couple of cases to try to bring them closer in, so that we can do a better job in terms of making our visits and so on. But we already have contracts outside of the county because we have individuals residing who are legal responsibilities, not physical residents.
And I guess I'm asking, is this, mm-hmm. if we take on this additional service, mm-hmm. are we going to do more of that?
Madam Chair and Supervisor Jurczyk, if we do more of it, it won't be because we're a managed care organization in another geographic area. It'll be because this organization needs it. It helps me to compartmentalize the two. So if I need a service of some type in some area for the existing 7,762 members, more or less, that we currently serve through the Milwaukee County Department of Family Care, that's what we will do. So if we do it's because there's the need in this program. I may have not an acquaintance and be able to pick up people by face in other geographic areas, but it won't be because we're there providing this benefit to a different population of individuals.
When you do place individuals outside of county lines, mm-hmm. are they still serviced if there's some need, mm-hmm. to our own Milwaukee County courts?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Jurczyk, typically, if we are serving someone outside of county, it's because their legal responsibility has been established through the courts through Milwaukee County, and their guardianship and protective placement have gone through probate
exactly.
court.
Mm-hmm.
So it's those legal ties, and some of them very old for individuals 60 and over. But it's that court action that typically that will sort of tie a member to us regardless of where in Wisconsin they live. There's all kinds of things, as I'm sure you're aware, in terms of changes of venue and that sort of thing. But it's that court action, and then that if an individual has a guardianship and a protective placement, their annual Watts review remains a responsibility of Milwaukee County Court.
Right, but if they haven't already established that guardianship, mm-hmm. I believe the statutes state that a guardianship can be brought any place mm-hmm. in which the person resides. So you couldn't end up burdening courts with these cross-jurisdictional services.
Supervisor, I guess I'm. Can you restate that? I'm trying to.
There, make the assumption there is currently no guardianship or protective placement order.
Okay.
A person is being served in family care.
Mm-hmm.
They're placed outside a county line.
Mm-hmm.
The person deteriorates, mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, could be thousands of facts. The person now needs a guardianship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That guardianship could be brought in the county in which they now reside. I see.
Yeah, I guess, Madam Chair, Supervisor Jurczyk, in that first part of that example, I was assuming this was somebody. Are you thinking of somebody who's currently being served by Milwaukee County Department of Family Care?
Wait, where I'm going with this is, if we do these extra county jurisdictional services,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
is there going to be a potential repercussion in both the courts, BHD?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we make decisions that ultimately mm-hmm. have different kinds of side effects, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I'm exploring that right now with you.
Gotcha.
I mean, I think the world of your department.
Thank you.
Quite frankly, I don't trust the state on this. They have not been good partners. And they have made some terrible decisions, and I'll get that out there for you right now. But I want to explore this mm-hmm. as much as possible
yeah.
because I don't know if this is good mm-hmm. for Milwaukee County to do it.
Madam Chair, Supervisor Jurczyk, I think to get to your specific point, if I'm currently serving somebody and they live in Chippewa Falls, the reason that they're being served through the Milwaukee County Department of Family Care is because they've established a legal responsibility to this county. So if they were there or if they were here, they're still a responsibility of Milwaukee County. That's been established. So any future court action, yes, will go through Milwaukee County, mm-hmm. but that's because it was established in the first place that they are our responsibility.
So family care will follow the jurisdiction of the original servicing, is what you're saying.
Madam Chair, Supervisor Jurisdiction. Yes, because if I'm serving someone, typically if I'm serving somebody out of county, it's somebody who was served through the waiver programs. They were placed by Milwaukee County maybe 40 years ago. And so they have established their responsibility and their ties, their legal responsibility with Milwaukee County. Now, if you were simply you living in Chippewa Falls and wanted to enroll in Milwaukee County Department of Family Care, that isn't an option for you because I've never met you before. You have no legal ties. Nothing for you went through probate court at a much earlier age. So, but if you've already been established as a responsibility of this county, your responsibility continues to translate. Again, we've had a couple of instances where over time, and again, these are typically where we see it is for people who have been placed out of the county at a very early age. And so guardians may have come and gone. There may be no family left. And so at that point, when perhaps they have a volunteer guardian who lives somewhere near where they do, then we do have a conversation about this might be an opportunity for a change of venue to that county. There isn't anything, you know, especially if that's a county that's offering the same services. There's no upside or downside from the standpoint of I'm trying to get rid of a case and you don't have the money to pay for it. If it's family care county to family care county, and there's other ways that works. But I wouldn't have been providing you with the family care benefit if you weren't a Milwaukee County responsibility from the get-go.
Are seniors going to be paying any rental? Are there going to be any surcharges like that for the space that you occupy within county buildings?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Jurisdiction, we're again looking at what our space needs are going to be. Again, it's the managed care organizations. The managed care organization currently in Racine, Kenosha is a private nonprofit entity. So the Racine and Kenosha Human Services don't provide that family care benefit. So, again, it's perhaps oversimplifying, but if you think of this as we're going to go into an area, we will have to identify some space. We will have to negotiate a lease or rental arrangement for that space for staff to be there to provide that benefit. As I shared with the Supervisor Mayo, the easy part, relatively speaking, is in terms of the care management function. Because we have contracts with teams who are able to expand their own boundaries, so that isn't something that we necessarily need to be concerned with. It's that what we will need to initially have is our administrative structure. So that would be this organization identifying a space and how many staff we need to have there, and it doesn't have to be in a county building. It can be anywhere, any sort of available and affordable space that makes sense.
And state dollars will follow for the services, is what you're saying.
Madam Chair, Supervisor Jurisic, yes. For every person, again, who enrolls, it's the same way that it's funded here. For every person who enrolls, we receive that capitation payment.
You're recommending that we do this.
I think it's a good opportunity. Ultimately, it's obviously up to the decision of the county, the board, and the county executive, but I believe this puts this particular family care program, as well as this county, in a stronger position as we move forward. This has been, again, no surprise to anybody, a very challenging state biennium. It's very the impacts of the enrollment caps are just now starting to be felt. And so while that has an enormous human toll on people who have to wait for services where they didn't have to wait in the past or had some expectation of when that wait would be over, that's fairly huge. But it's also very challenging for all the managed care organizations to, when you're no longer able to plan on growth and trying to make sure that you're sustainable. And, you know, my mission, again, as an oversimplification, is to get through this budget and come out on the other side, still able to provide this benefit here. And I think moving past our boundaries, our currently existing boundaries, puts us in a better position to do that.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Hare has something that he'd like to add to the conversation, and then I have Supervisors Mayo, Biddle, and Lipscomb.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, you recall that Chairman Holloway asked us to work with the Department of Family Care on specifically the waitlist issue. The questions that Supervisor Jurcik has asked that relate to how they're going to keep these pots separate, the state has changed the way we do financial statements for this program. They're insurance-based, and we can work with the program to make sure that all of the costs are in the right center in terms of the reporting out of the state, because clearly they will continue to manage this fund as a county-by-county program. In terms of the wait list, as of yesterday, aging was at 442, and disabilities was at 1,628. Fiscal constraints that brought us these wait lists, I think, are also driving some of the state's approach to competition and economies of scale. You can see what they're trying to do by letting our program compete with other mm-hmm. counties, is trying to get the benefit of that competition, but also the benefit of some economies of scale, so that hopefully administrative costs can be shared across county lines and begin to address the wait list with funding that would otherwise have been spent on administration. So we'll continue to work with them, make sure that counties' taxpayers are protected in terms of the formulas and cost reporting, but it's clear that that's what they're trying to accomplish.
These numbers you gave are Milwaukee County
Milwaukee wait County list. As of yesterday.
Okay. Supervisor Mayo? Motion for approval, Supervisor Biddle.
Oops, I have a question.
You didn't have anything?
I defer to
All right, Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you. I'm hearing the statement mm-hmm. in terms of strengthening the organization. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's an argument of scale that Mr. Harris just made. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I'm sold on that versus mm-hmm. sort of the risks of expansion. I mean, it makes sense why they want that competition and why it, you know, it could serve them to push us or to encourage us to go there. But I'm not sure that the risks, that there's enough incentive for us given the risks. Mm-hmm. Do we anticipate that we will have the same protections that they provide the other providers, like the loss, the risk sharing on losses mm-hmm. and things that they've done for our competitors mm-hmm. here? Can they do that for us when we go into these other counties?
Madam Chair, County Supervisor Lipscomb, right now there'll be discussions on a capitation rate in a negotiation. With that said, we would hope that we would receive a rate that would be sufficient and there would be no need for a risk loss share agreement. And on top of which, we also have sufficient reserves presently, which is really more than any other managed care organization in the state right now. We're at $15.2 million with the potential to be closer to $19 million by year end. So the short answer for your question is there probably would not be any need for a risk loss share agreement, provided the decapitation rate for that geographic region is sufficient to cover the service benefit.
Okay. And then other than the distinction between the separation of the wait list, mm-hmm. is there any other firewall between, you know, I mean, so our entire surplus is at risk. it's a unified, mm-hmm. Service. It's not like a separate line of business
there,
that has any protection.
Madam Chair, Supervisor Lipscomb, as Mr. Hare had indicated, we would definitely be doing separate reporting mm-hmm. by geographic region. But yes, we are one managed care organization, so our reserves would be subject to those boundaries as well.
All right. I'll support it today, relative to negotiating and seeing where we get on a capitated rate that's sufficient. But I need to be sold on the fact that this is a good business mm-hmm. proposition for us, given the risk that mm-hmm. I think I see. So.
Thank you, Supervisor
Biddle
and Supervisor Mayo.
So, my colleagues have actually asked a question, but I just want to hear it again from my own ears. So. When it comes to the increase in potential staff mm-hmm. and remote mm-hmm. satellite offices mm-hmm. and the utilities and all the expenses that come mm-hmm. with having to be in that region, mm-hmm. there will be no reason for levy support for these operations. with the current revenue stream will be able sufficiently to provide the resources for those things. No levy support.
Madam Chair, Supervisor Biddle. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that.
Wait a minute.
I just want to piggyback off of what I said. Your reserve will be, if you create it in Milwaukee County, that will go down. If something happened in Racine County, mm-hmm. Kenosha County, you have to use those reserves in that county?
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, Supervisor Mayo, when an instance would occur where we would need to tap into reserves, again, because it would be one managed care organization, those reserves are, there's three separate solvents.
Madam Chair, Supervisor Mayo, there's three reserves. There's a working capital reserve, there's a restricted reserve, and there's a solvency reserve. There's different formulas for each. The solvency reserve is a flat $750,000, which has actually been pledged and maintained through the Wisconsin Department of Administrative Services. All managed care organizations have to make that pledge, no matter the size of your organization. The other two reserves are, one is a function of revenue. In the case of the working capital, it's 2% of forecasted capitation revenue for a given year. And that changes every year as our enrollment changes. And then the other, the restricted reserve, is a function. There's various percentages also based on capitation revenue. The working capital reserve, our requirement, minimum requirement, is $7.8 million, and we've got well over $12 million in that fund right now. The restricted reserve is, the requirement's $3.6 million, and we have a little more than $3.6 million in that reserve, and then we also need the solvency. So how it works is, should the entity deficit, you would tap into your first reserve, which would be the working capital reserve, which is solely for operations. Should you expend those in totality, then what would be a requirement is you have to reach out to the state, get approval to tap into the second reserve, which would be the restricted reserve. And then the third reserve is a solvency reserve, and that is actually put into a pool that is shared in the event any MCO is not able to sustain. They would reach out and use those monies for any MCO. And should those be used, then the existing MCOs would have to ante up and replenish that reserve, that solvency reserve. It is an insurance model. It's just like the partnership program. They follow our HMO partner model. They follow. The future of family care is moving more and more to an insurance model. I won't kid you. I mean, there are discussions. There's a federal approval for a federal waiver funding for what they call the virtual PACE program, which is looking to be piloted sometime next year. It's an integrated model which includes both the family care benefit packages, we know it, that for Milwaukee County, plus an integrated piece, which is the acute and primary for hospitalizations and things and physicians and pharmaceuticals. So the direction of the family care is more and more getting looked closely to and linked closely to a potential integrated model. So I want to add one thing here is, when we think of the risk associated with moving to a geographic location, you know, we're going to be also coming back here as the future unfolds and looking at family care as we know it today and family care as how it might turn into a potential integrated model. And the risk there is going to be whether we move into an integrated model, because the truth of the matter is that looks like to be the focus of what the Department of Health Services wants in the long run. And presently, there are the partnership programs, and those programs are doing fine. They have reserves, and they're functioning. But you have to think in terms of that as well, because at some point, the existing population as we know it, we could be serving fewer members if all of a sudden the option was, or the choice by the members were to say, well, I want to go to an integrated plan, and Milwaukee County does not have an integrated plan. Now, we're not there yet, but that is there. Like I said, there's a pilot program that's going to be developed in 2012, and there's some funding that was provided by the federal government to Department of Health Services at the state.
But since you brought up the pilot program, is it Milwaukee County is one of the people who will be in that pilot program? Since you brought it up, it's basically I'm looking at when you're in Racine and Kenosha, when you are looking at your reserves there, when you start creating, will you put a separate pot for that organization there, or are you just going to blend it all together? Because that's where the risk going to be when you look at your different things. Milwaukee County have a very strong population right now, and Kenosha is just getting into this. And my other question is, so you can answer it, do you report to Kenosha and Racine Board so they know exactly what's going on? Or is this, will we continue to be your parent committee here?
Can I do that one?
You can do that one. Yeah, sure. To address your question on the reserves, the way the models are working right now, family care partnership, those are two distinct, and those are different. They have different reserve requirements, and those are maintained separately. There's not a commingling. So, for instance, community care has a partnership program in Milwaukee County. They also have a family care program. They don't commingle the reserves for family care and the reserves for their partnership program. Those are two separate distinct. So that's, at least as we know it today, that's the way it would happen should Milwaukee County ever become an integrated model. And we're a little ahead, but I'm just ahead of the game here. But so to address your question, there wouldn't be that commingling. I'm going to defer to Ms. Ledger to answer your control questions.
Madam Chair, Supervisor Mayor, I'm going to save the parent question for last. It's my favorite. But in when you talk about, you know, what are we doing in terms of looking at a potentially a different model in light of the description Mr. Hudson gave of this virtual PACE notion that the state has rolled out, we have had many internal discussions about the best way, you know, does this make sense for Milwaukee County Department of Family Care to do? What's the best way to do it? What kind of partnerships do we need to forge with other entities? So because we're very cognizant of the fact that if, again, it's all towards the same end goal, which is we want to make sure that we strengthen this program and make sure that it's flexible and changes to meet both the changing needs of the community and the changing needs of the Department of Health Services. So I would expect that we will, as we move this, our discussions forward and finalize some things with some external parties, we will be coming back and talking about how within the Milwaukee Department of Family Care, we will be having a discussion with you about what that might look like in terms of how we do a better job coordinating that acute and primary care, what's it going to look like. It, like expanding beyond our geographic boundaries, is no small task, but it has to be done. We can't stay the same as we have always been and expect that we will always be allowed to stay that way or be allowed to be at all. We have to be adaptable to changing conditions, and so we want to be able to do that. We've always been very responsive to what the changing needs of the community are, so we will continue to move forward with that. In terms of your question of where we will report, this is the Milwaukee County Department of Family Care, and it may be that we provide the services that we do outside of these boundaries. And so, if you think of any other county department that offers a service, whether it's telecommunications or forensic services or anything else outside of its boundaries. It's that same relationship. We will always report to this board. This board will always be my parent. We will always provide information to any other entity. The way we would do now, it's one of the hallmarks of how we run as an organization that we're very transparent. So I would expect that
policymakers and stakeholders in Racine and Kenosha want to have an understanding of what we're all about and what we're doing on a regular basis. But this remains a department that's housed in Milwaukee County, and so I will provide information. But this is the organization that will provide that benefit. This is the board that oversees that organization.
Thank you.
Supervisor Bettle.
I'd like to make a suggestion. I mean, mm-hmm. in the event that this passes, mm-hmm. That in the contract negotiation phase, that you pursue a clause that says that if this program at any time makes the county have to provide levy support, that we have some type of out clause to reconsider continuing to provide the service to Kenosha and Racine. I would like to see that in any contract that comes back to this mm-hmm. committee.
Mm-hmm. We have had significant discussion on this. Are there any further comments or questions on this item? Mm-hmm. We do have a motion for approval by Supervisor Mayo. Madam Clerk, on that motion, please call the roll.
Biddle.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Jerzyk.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion is approved.
Thank you all.